this next interview is a little bit indulgent on my part, is that I've been opening the journals, Priya, as I do on a regular basis. And a lot of the journals now, you start to see these trends in journals. The things become trendy and they're a bit hyped up. And every time you open a journal, there's a new thing, on a new bit of information. And one of the things that's really getting hyped up has been a technology called liquid biopsies. So this is where DNA in your blood, which has spun off a tumor, they can pick it up. It's called circulating tumor DNA. And they pick it up, they test it, and there are two main ways of using this technology. One is early detection of cancer, and that's what a lot of hype has been in the journals. But you can feel the commerce behind it. Mm-hmm. We've got a bank of 10 different circulating tumor DNA tests. We can use this as a substitute for screening or to supplement screening, and you can find out about all these tumors. It's the same sort of language that they use in whole body MRI scanning, and you start to get skeptical reading this. But, you know, it might be a bit unfair that I'm being skeptical. But another way of using this is actually when you've got cancer, to modify the treatment, particularly detecting the cancer if it comes back early and finding out if you're on the right kind of treatment. So I just wanted to get an idea of where we are at with that without my hyped up skepticism. And one of the Australian experts in liquid biopsies and the associated technology who's actually doing clinical trials in this area is Professor Sarah Jane Dawson, who's a clinician scientist at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre and the Centre for Cancer Research at the University of Melbourne.
For the test to be used for early cancer detection, it needs to do several things very effectively. It needs to be very specific. So it needs to be able to correctly identify negative cases, and it needs to be very sensitive. So we want to be able to correctly identify individuals who do have an underlying cancer. And then even if these tests do detect these cancer signals in the blood, they also need to identify where in the body the cancer may be, because if we're going to be able to identify and treat that cancer effectively, we need to try and understand what type of cancer this individual has developed. So there's a range of different features in trying to understand how accurate these tests might be.
In other words, you might get several cancers that throw off the same DNA and you've got no idea what cancer you're picking up, whereas you want to find a test that's specific to the pancreas or the lung or the colon, for example.
That's exactly right. And the tests are absolutely improving. They're getting better at doing this all of the time. However, we need to understand whether the implementation of these types of tests is going to lead to survival benefits for patients in the long run. These tests are expensive and complex. We need to understand whether they can lead to improvements in survival for patients if we're using these tests.
Okay, so thank you for that. When I read a paper, which I'm increasingly doing, particularly from the United States, saying this is ready for showtime, when we've got a panel of 10 tests, let's go, folks. Just slow down. We've just got to wait here in terms of the screening side.
There's a number of studies at the moment which are using simulated data to try and understand what the benefits of these tests might be. And they look very encouraging. They suggest that these tests could help diagnose cancers at an earlier stage. And if we do that, the implication is we may be able to improve survival. But we still don't have real-world data to support that at the current time, but it's going to be several years until we have that. They wouldn't replace the current screening that is happening at the moment, but we only have screening tests available for four cancer types at the moment: breast cancer, cervical cancer, colorectal cancer, and lung cancer. So there are a large number of cancers that don't have appropriate screening tests. So the goal is that these tests would supplement rather than replace current screening strategies and could be quite helpful to diagnose those cancer types where we actually don't have effective screening, and several of these cancers can be detected at late stages.
Let's just talk about monitoring once you've actually been treated for cancer, because one of the problems in cancer research is that it's focused on the initial cancer and knocking that on the head. And there's far less research done on cancer spread and what happens when cancer has spread, which is much more difficult to treat. One of the problems here with secondary spread is that you might be using a drug which you thought would work, but doesn't because of the genetics of the cancer or the genetics of the person. And the liquid biopsy might actually help you to say, oh, wrong drug, let's move to another one because of the testing of this one. That's a crude way of describing how some of these liquid biopsies work. But how close are we to that, which says, okay, we're starting you on treatment, but we're going to do these blood tests to see whether we can refine the treatment to make it more effective.
We're very close to that application. So in patients that are undergoing treatment for cancer, these tests can be helpful in monitoring the effectiveness of that therapy so that we can avoid continuing ineffective treatments in patients and exposing them to the risk of unnecessary side effects. Once an individual is diagnosed with cancer, these tests can be extremely helpful in understanding whether that individual is responding to treatment or not.
It took a while for Australia to really get into genomics and cancer. You had places like Melbourne, to some extent Brisbane, where it was almost standard of care to really test the genes in a cancer. Now it's pretty widespread, but it took a long time for oncologists throughout Australia to catch up with that. To what extent is this becoming the standard of care? And regardless of where you are in Australia, you should be able to expect liquid biopsies to monitor your progress and refine treatment.
The technology is right for clinical application, but we don't have Medicare reimbursement of liquid biopsy tests for patients in Australia at the current time. So outside of research studies and clinical trials, these tests are still very difficult to access. The clinical trials are important because we need them to show that the implementation of these tests will lead to survival benefits for patients. But the technology is ready now. So this evidence will come, and I think that will make a compelling case for reimbursement of these tests so that they can be widely available to all patients Australia-wide.
Why are they so expensive?
The technology is improving and the costs are coming down, but they do rely on complex genomic sequencing. But the argument would be if they can tell us important information about therapeutic choices and whether treatments are being effective or ineffective, then these tests could save the health system money if we can improve the efficiency of cancer treatment in the long term.
So give me a flavour of some of the trials you're involved with.
Yes, so we're involved in trials looking at several different applications of this technology. We're also involved in trials where we're using these tests to follow patients after they have been treated for cancer. So these tests can be very powerful in identifying patients that may be at risk of their cancer returning. And if we can identify those patients, then we can intervene, hopefully, with therapies that may be able to eradicate any residual disease that that individual may have.
So in other words, you might be able to detect a molecular relapse rather than a lump relapse, to be crude about it.
That's exactly right.
Which, of course, opens up a whole area of discussion, which we've covered on the Health Report before, which is, does cancer surveillance save lives? And there's a big debate in the cancer community about whether it does, or whether you just discover that you have relapsed earlier than you would otherwise know, but it didn't make any difference to your overall survival.
And I think we're right to come back to wanting to show that these tests actually improve survival outcomes for individuals diagnosed with cancer. We are using them in a research setting quite frequently now for patients who have cancer, and they're very effective. But it's a different scenario if you're approaching this, you know, across the whole population for early cancer detection.
Professor Sarah Jane Dawson, who's a clinical oncologist at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre and the Centre for Cancer Research at the University of Melbourne.
So we're talking about a run-of-the-mill blood test, though.
Yeah, they take blood and they analyse it looking for these shreds of DNA.
Okay.
And you've got to be sure. So it's much easier if they know what cancer you've got and they're monitoring it because they're looking for the DNA from that specific cancer. But if you're otherwise healthy, and they take the blood test and they find DNA.
What are you looking for?
They don't know, it's a needle in a haystack, or they can find it, but they don't know what it means. But according to Sarah Jane, it's really close to being able to be used as a regular thing in the cancer clinic for treating cancer. It's just that it's not subsidised and they're not cheap tests. So there is a use for them, but whether or not they are utilised in screening will be down the track.
On ABC Radio National, you're with the Health Report.